We'll also ask why the State Department initially claimed the attacks were simply a protest gone awry.
4 weeks after the attack, the department gave its first blow-by-blow account of what was clearly a well-organized assault, never a spontaneous demonstration, as officials first claimed.
The State Department says they never claimed the attacks were in response to an internet video critical of Islam. The president and Governor Romney were both in Ohio yesterday as national polls show the race tightening in all of the swing states as well as nationally. NBC's Tracy Potts.
Romney's closing the gap. The latest polls, Reuters has him tied. Gallup has Romney up by 2. Pew has him up by 4.
This is NBC News Radio. A 14-year-old Pakistani girl is fighting for her life after being shot by Taliban members yesterday. NBC's Amna Nawaz says she was targeted for speaking out against the group.
Doctors say they believe she will survive, but some are expressing concern that she may have trouble speaking again.
A Massachusetts man who flew from Japan to Los Angeles International Airport was arrested yesterday for having a smoke grenade in his checked luggage. The man was also wearing a bulletproof vest and flame-retardant pants when he was taken into custody. Officials found a gas mask, biohazard suits, body bags, billy clubs, knives, a hatchet, and leg irons, all in his checked bags. And the Society of Manufacturing Engineering says there are plenty of jobs in manufacturing, with as many as 3 million skilled factory vacancies opening by 2015. They say parents are steering their kids away from careers in manufacturing, with enrollment at four-year colleges at an all-time high. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Manufacturing activity around the world has been slowing down, but that's expected. So markets consider it good news that Alcoa's third quarter operating earnings tumbled from a year ago, but still managed to remain in the black. Including one-time charges, the aluminum giant lost $143 million, but Alcoa's results did beat forecasts. Our appetite for the 11 herbs and spices apparently is increasing. The owner of KFC, as well as Taco Bell and Pizza Hut, reports a 23% jump in profit for last quarter. Sales at all three chains up in both the U.S. and around the world. Parent company Yum Brands has hiked its forecast for the full year and shares jumped 4% in extended trades. Oil giant Chevron is cutting its forecast for earnings third quarter, and it blames the effect of Hurricane Isaac, which was not a direct hit on many facilities in the Gulf of Mexico, but did prompt evacuations of several offshore facilities. Stock futures down, S&P futures losing 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You could win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
We believe that even when your team is apart, it should be easy to be together. That when you can meet face to face, you're more likely to see eye to eye. That when everyone is on the same screen, it's a lot easier to be on the same page. Welcome to GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. With one click, launch or join a meeting from anywhere. It's that easy. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45 for a free 45-day trial. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
GEICO says, let's make life simpler.
It's a fact of modern life. Switching isn't easy. Your bank, your cable company, your girlfriend. Let's just say each switch comes with a certain degree of difficulty. Switching to GEICO, now that couldn't be easier. First of all, it only takes 15 minutes. And just like that, you could be saving hundreds on car insurance. No muss, no fuss, no irate, vengeful, significant others.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Reds could have closed it out last night in Cincinnati against the Giants. Giants came back. What a pitching performance by Homer Bailey. But here's what I'm going to ask you right now. 2-1, the Reds lose to the Giants in 10 innings. A masterful pitching performance by Homer Bailey goes down the tubes. He gets a no decision. However, okay, 8-time gold.
All right, welcome everybody. Sorry for that delay, just a little technical difficulty, but we are on track. Good morning to you. It is Wednesday, the 10th day of October 2012. Cold and rainy. It is fall in Detroit after all, and there you go. It is what it is. And we will certainly make the best of it as we work our way through a glorious Wednesday morning. We have a lot to get to. We have seven guests today. So I have sharpened my pencils, which I actually don't use. So I've got my pen ready. I'm well prepared, well read, ready for anything you might need from me. And I hope that all of you got out to register yesterday. I know I said I wasn't going to mention it today, but that's a lie. I did. I want to thank all of you, by the way, that reached out to me over the last couple of days in this flurry to get registered. Many of you didn't listen very well, but that's okay. The important thing is we got back on track. Everybody that I contacted or contacted me, I believe, got registered, and I appreciate that. By the way, you know, we have something called web statistics. We can tell where people go on the website and et cetera, and how many people click through and what they click through to. And yesterday alone, I'm not exaggerating, 611 people went to the register here button on thetonyshow.org. I can't say that 611 people downloaded the form, filled it out, and brought it in, but it's good to know that that resource was helpful to many of you. So now it's all about November 6th. We've done our job. We are going to really just continue to do what it is I think we do quite well, which is to bring you essential information in order for you to make the most profound and educated decision moving forward. Let's take a look at what we've got going on today, and we'll get this thing going. In the 7 o'clock hour, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock will be joining us. Reverend Bullock is, of course, very active in the early voting movement in Wayne County. Janice Winfrey, Detroit City Clerk, making multiple locations available for people that want to do early absentee voting. They can do it now, and we'll talk with Reverend Bullock about that. I just don't really need an excuse to have him on the show. He's welcome anytime, just for no reason at all. Curtis Hertel Jr., the Ingham County Register of Deeds, will be with us today to talk about the Supreme Court candidates, especially those that are endorsed by the Republican Party and how they're being funded. I think you're going to find that disturbingly interesting, but it is what it is. We'll get to that with Curtis Hertel Jr. at 7:35. At 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor from the Detroit Free Press, joins us. As well, in the 8 o'clock hour, Planned Parenthood, Desiree Cooper, the communications director of Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, will be in studio with Satori Shakur, who is a performer, an actress, a comedian. They've got a show coming up that they're going to support, and we're going to give away some tickets to this fundraiser that we're going to talk about today. In the 9 o'clock hour, Joanna Van Raphorst will be with us. Joanna is a candidate for the House, the Michigan House in the 45th District, which is Rochester Hills, running against public enemy number one, Tom McMillan. You'll want to hear this interview. You'll want to support her. Again, in the 9 o'clock hour, Neil Billington, House candidate in the 43rd House District, will join us. Encompasses Waterford and those environs. And last but not least, another candidate in the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. Syed Taj. As we promised, we're going to bring him to you on a weekly basis. And this is part of our commitment to helping that cause. With that said, before we get going, we got to do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is counsel. Counsel, to give advice, to direct, to lead, to guide. Counsel somebody is much about, by the way, hear me loud and clear here, is as much about listening as it is about talking. How can that be? How do you counsel somebody by listening? Well, if you're truly present, if you are truly listening to someone within the framework of whatever it is they are coming to you for counsel for, is going to be a reason. And it's easy to give counsel if you are just doing things generically. Anybody can give an opinion, but to give true counsel means to be thoughtful, it means to be deliberate, and it means to be purposeful. To be a counselor, for some people, it's a... how do I put this in a nice way? I guess I can't. For some people, it shouldn't be something they ever do because they just give bad counsel. And counsel actually does work that way. It can be both good and bad. How can you tell the difference? Well, I guess that's just an issue of trust. Going back to yesterday's first word, respect. But, when you seek counsel, try to do it from someone you're fairly sure has a skill set to give you the counsel in the area that you need it. If you are giving counsel, you ought to be absolutely sure that you're not leading somebody down a destructive or negative path, and that can easily happen. Be careful, because sometimes counsel isn't even about what we necessarily believe. Counsel should be about the truth, and even if you don't agree with that truth, chances are critical counsel means that you have been deliberate, you've been thoughtful, and you've been honest. Because good counsel, folks, can go a long way. Actually, so can bad counsel. So be careful, because that door does swing both ways. And in the attempt to perhaps guide somebody, if you do it irresponsibly, like a boomerang, it can come back to hit you. All right, so today's first word is counsel, and it's going to be one of those mornings. Printer's not working again. What do you know? Welcome to Clear Channel Radio, folks. Anyway, let's say good morning to Anthony. If we had to give counsel to the Detroit Tigers, Anthony, what would it be? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. If we had to give counsel, it would be hit the baseball.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. Before we go any further, I understand we have a open for our segment.
Oh, we do.
You know what? So let's check this. Stop. We're going to go back about 45 seconds. And now it's time for this.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And
Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
All right, there we go. That's kind of cool. Very nicely done. All right, so now we'll start over. What kind of counsel would you give the Detroit Tigers, Anthony?
I think they should start hitting the baseball.
Imagine that. Well, you know, yesterday I talked about somebody busting it wide open offensively. That didn't happen. We got a great pitching performance last night from Anibal Sanchez. Unfortunately, the Oakland pitcher did a little better than ours did. And, wow, what a night. Quiet bats between Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder. They went 1-for-8. And although Prince Fielder was robbed of a home run by Coco Crisp, he was robbed of a home run. So you can't say much about great defense because it's great defense, and it was last night. So we go into this evening's ball game, sadly, you know, still needing to win one more. Now, you know, we still have the advantage. We're up 2-1. I still believe we're the better ball club. I still think offensively we have the better ball club. We just need to now step up to the plate, excuse the pun, or maybe don't excuse the pun, and play a little, I don't know, what's it called? Baseball! Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, we've been real lucky. Our starting pitching has been great. Coke actually came in and pitched good. Porcello came in and got out Cespedes. He had one pitch and made him pop out when it looked like Oakland was going to add a run late. And, you know, our pitching kept us in it, and, you know, our offensive, you know, $200 million players can't hit the ball. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But they play again tonight at 9:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So get used to it, folks. It's, you know, hopefully tonight they win. Although I got to tell you, Anthony, I actually got up in the middle of the night to check to see if the Tigers won.
Did you really?
I did. About 1:30, I got up to see how they did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. But I did fall back asleep. So that's that. Of course, very quickly before we get to the break, sad news yesterday. The voice of the Detroit Red Wings, Bud Lynch, has passed away at the age of 95. A good man. If there ever was a good man, it was he. We, of course, enshrine two people in our minds forever, the great Ernie Harwell and the great Bud Lynch. Both of them will be missed. Okay, let's get to the break. 888-552-3595. You've now punched in. This is First Shift. Go nowhere.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
I think this is a destructive way to think. Mitt Romney should be running to be president of the whole country. You don't want to be president of all the country, you won't be elected president of any of them.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your traffic, and we just picked up a new accident. It's on 96 eastbound at the Davidson. It has the left shoulder of that exit ramp blocked, and you got debris in it. Do have that closure of Mack Avenue both directions between Mount Elliott and East Grand Boulevard due to a structure fire, and that overturned vehicle is still blocking the right lane on 94 westbound at Rosso Highway. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61. And it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has
repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against the
laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Wednesday morning. Thank you again for punching in with us. Hope everybody had a good day yesterday. As things progress with each passing day, we get closer to hopefully some kind of new form of sanity in the state and in the country. We'll see, folks. We'll see. Listen, there's a lot of work that needs to be done between now and Election Day. If you've got the will, if you can write a check, do it. If you've got an hour, if you've got a half an hour, if you've got 20 minutes, make some phone calls, knock some doors, get involved. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. You know, we need people on everything on the down ticket, from the ballot proposals up through the judges, up through the candidates for office, and, of course, the president and everything in between. So if you've got time, give a little time. All right, this first story I go to is just so typically Republican. Now, I'm going to let the story play out, but the Michigan Republican Party is running an ad, a television commercial, to support Republican candidates in Oakland County. Let's play the ad first, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
There's a place known for outrageous spending and crushing debt, for blight and decay, corruption and incompetence, hard on business, terrible for jobs. That's Detroit.
That's the first part of the ad the Michigan GOP put out to showcase Republican leadership in Oakland County. Here's part of the second half.
We do things differently in Oakland County. We're open for business and always creating jobs. Spending's in check. Debt is low. AAA credit. Oakland County is working because our leadership works.
Brooks Patterson, currently convalescing from an auto accident, saw it on cable and asked the Michigan GOP to take it down, saying in part, "I've always run political campaigns built on positive messages. My campaign has asked the independent entity that produced this ad to take it down. Tonight, the Michigan GOP tells us it will abide by Patterson's wishes."
We have a tremendous amount of respect for Al Brooks Patterson. Anybody in politics who doesn't have respect for Al Brooks Patterson probably doesn't know much about politics. But, you know, again, we're focused on talking about the great things that they're doing here in Oakland County and why they should be reelected.
All right. Well, so we actually briefly talked about this yesterday with, who was it? One of our guests. Jim Nash, the guy running for Oakland County Water Resource Commissioner. This is just bad. This is just bad form. And I think it may be illegal. I'm surprised nobody has challenged what's going on. But not Brooks Patterson, but certainly Bullard and who's the other guy? Well, anyway, McCullough. They are running radio commercials, not on this station, but they're running radio commercials about their office. And they're doing it under the guise of education on their office, what it is, what it does, what they're trying to do. That may be fooling some people, but it's not fooling anyone, especially their opponents, who understand the tax dollars are being used to pay for these radio commercials. Now, we fast forward to yesterday. These ads come out sponsored by and produced by the Michigan Republican Party. With all due respects to Brooks, who said, you know, he's always run positive campaigns, that's just not true. He's not running a very positive campaign right now against Kevin Hawley, so I am suspicious of anything he might say. They characterize Brooks as convalescing. I guess that's a really nice way of saying that he's healing from some pretty drastic injuries that were mostly caused by the fact that he wasn't wearing a seatbelt in a car that he was driving in that was speeding. And, well, now we know why we wear seatbelts, right? At the end of the day, what concerns me about this ad and what concerns me about what the Republicans in Oakland County are doing is not only is it dishonest and perhaps illegal, it certainly is unethical, and there's no sense of moral value involved here at all. Somebody needs to, first word, counsel these people on the way to run an honest campaign. Or do we not care about honest campaigns anymore? I've said this before. I'll say it again. It's pretty simple stuff. Let's just be fair. If I lose in a fair fight, I can live with that. Might not like it. I might cry in my beer. I might even whine a little bit, but I'll get over it because a fair fight, frankly, is fair. I do have a problem when we can't play by the same sets of rules because those that have the money or the power abuse it, which is happening here in Oakland County. And to denigrate the city of Detroit, to literally make fun of the city of Detroit, to literally point fingers at the leadership, and maybe some of it's actually justified and earned, I'm not going to argue that, you don't make yourself look good while trying to make someone else look bad. So you talk about Wayne County versus Oakland County. Folks, it's not even a fair fight. A, you're not comparing apples to apples. But beyond that, we don't need to get wound up in the even-Steven comparison. It's just not the way things should be done. If you can't stand on your own two legs, your own two feet, then you shouldn't be standing there at all. And it's clear that the Michigan Republican Party just doesn't get it, although they never really have, and I don't know that they ever really will. This idea that we need to respect Brooks Patterson because he's Brooks Patterson is ridiculous. We have caught him in a variety of mistruths. We know that he is afraid to debate Kevin Hawley so that he will be outed for the liar that he is. But more importantly, Brooks has made himself AWOL. He has done a couple radio interviews. He's done some print media, but he's afraid for people to see him. Why? I'm going to guess that he looks awful. I'm going to guess physically he looks terrible. It doesn't take a lot of energy to pick up a phone and do a radio interview or to pick up a phone and do a print interview because, frankly, nobody can see you. It's no different than FDR. Do you think he would have served as our president for so long had people have seen pictures of him in a wheelchair all the time? Absolutely freaking not. I'm not saying that Brooks should be kicked out of office just because he was stupid enough not to wear a seatbelt and got hurt. And, of course, I really do want him to heal. I truly do want that. I mean that sincerely. But just because I care about the human being doesn't mean I care about the politician, and I do not. So to the Michigan Republican Party and everybody that falls underneath that banner, shame on you. Shame on you for using a negative to try to get a positive. Frankly, it makes you look even worse, and I hope they do pull the ad because at the end of the day, I think ultimately it hurts your candidates. Or did you not think about that before you just stupidly went off and did your own thing? Oh, yes, Oakland County is so great. Tell that to all the landlords that have buildings that are empty that they can't fill, the office space, the schools that have closed, the poor that are growing exponentially in Oakland County. Tell that to them. Tell that to them to their face. I dare you. You won't, of course, because, well, the truth is an uncomfortable reality sometimes, and not even a spoonful of sugar will help that medicine go down. We'll take a break. We got a lot more audio to get to. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll take a break. We'll take a look at our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day and continue this thing we call First Shift right after we take this break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's head over to 96 eastbound at the Davison where they've just cleared that accident. But we still have that closure of Mack Avenue East and West between Mount Elliott and East Grand Boulevard due to that structure fire. And 94 westbound at Rosso Highway, overturned vehicle is blocking your right lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61, and it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
National brand name food conglomerates are coming a cropper over California's Proposition 37. Actually, it's a double cropper. First, they're frantically scrambling to defeat this citizens' initiative, which would establish a state right-to-know labeling requirement on any food with genetically manipulated organisms in it. The giants fear that consumers, damn you, will reject products containing risky GMOs, so they want to keep such contents a secret. Since the California market is huge, passage of a labeling law there would effectively become a national provision. Thus, the corporations are mounting a massive PR campaign against Prop 37. But, oops, this media blitz is causing a second cropper for them by revealing way more about their conglomerated empires than they want people to know. Another of their carefully constructed consumer frauds is that many multinationals have quietly bought up dozens of popular organic food firms, but they've kept their conglomerate name off the labels, hoping that customers will think the organic brands are still scrappy independent businesses. Now, though, the public is learning that Kashi Organics, for example, is a subsidiary of Kellogg, which is spending a ton to defeat Prop 37. Other megabuck donors to the anti-consumer campaign include General Mills, owner of Muir Glen, Dean Foods, owner of Horizon Organic Milk, plus such giant deceivers as Campbell Soup, Coca-Cola, ConAgra, Hershey, Hormel, Nestle, Ocean Spray, PepsiCo, and Sara Lee. This is Jim Hightower saying, the fun part is that the organic subsidiaries of these giants support the right-to-know labeling law. And some of them are the ones who've outed the corporate parents for financing legalized consumer deception. Nothing like a feisty family squabble to air out the dirty linens and expose some ugly truths.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO.
The corporate special interests and these Lansing politicians that they fund have worked very hard to keep people from getting to vote. They were unsuccessful. We know that Governor Snyder filed a brief in support of Schutte's opinion. It is interesting that no Michigan governor or attorney general has ever taken such drastic action to prevent citizens from exercising their right to vote.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good morning to you. Well, it was bound to happen one way or the other. We know that the police officers in the city of Detroit, who we support 100%, have been stressed beyond belief. They are now working 12-hour shifts, although some of them have moved from the desk to the patrol car. it's not nearly enough. And now there's a domino, and there's a domino effect to everything, so let's just be honest about that. But the domino effect here is costing the city of Detroit money. How? Well, it's not an overtime. And as you'll hear by listening to this piece from Fox 2, it's not a problem that would be very easy to solve. Let's listen.
We need the money. Hello? We're cash-strapped. We shouldn't be giving away any revenue opportunities.
Detroit City Council President Charles Pugh concerned the city is losing tens of thousands of dollars a week in fines for traffic tickets. Dismissed.
What the hell is that? Who allows that to happen?
It's not uncommon at all to see at least a half dozen tickets go dismissed without any costs or any fines because the officers just haven't shown up.
Attorney Chris Castle says it's been an ongoing issue since the 12-hour shift started in mid-September. Fox 2 has learned there are multiple issues impacting revenue. Fewer officers are assigned to traffic enforcement. Fewer tickets are being written, and fewer officers are showing up to court when tickets are challenged. So they're simply dismissed.
The officers, they're trying to do their jobs, but they work 12-hour shifts to go home and get rest, not to go sit in court for a couple hours every morning.
Officers tell us the 12-hour shifts have left them exhausted, and the overtime incentive to come to court just isn't what it once was, and that's on top of their 10% pay cuts. Just how much this is costing the city isn't clear, but the DPOA says it might be time to rethink those 12-hour shifts.
It's probably due to fatigue of working the 12 hours. How am I providing service to the city being that tired? It's just literally almost impossible.
It's a real concern, not just for traffic ticket revenue, but for the safety of officers and citizens, and certainly a quality of life issue for the men and women in blue.
When I went back to work Sunday night, there was a lot of people that were very tired, very fatigued, and complaining that they don't see their wife, they don't see their husband, they don't see their kids. And it's taken a real toll on their home life.
City Council will take up the issue on Monday. In Detroit, Amy Lang, Fox 2 News.
You know, we should not be at all surprised if this has happened, and we can't really place the blame on the police officers in any way, shape, or form. It would just be wrong to do that. And so who do we place the blame on? Well, the city leaders. Certainly the mayor and then police chief Godby, and whoever will follow him will have to really take a serious look at this. You can't expect people to work a shift from 6A to 6P or 6P to 6A and expect them, especially those that work the night shift, to then sit around for a few hours only to go to court to make sure that, you know, they get $125 or whatever the ticket will be. It's just not fair of them to do that. They need to be rested. I don't need to have a conversation with you about what happens when you get tired, do I? You know, our senses dull. Again, I don't need to have that conversation with you. These people are human beings. And being a police officer, even if you don't make one stop all day long, even if you don't make one call all day long, and I'm sure you that never ever happens, but even if they didn't, even if they were sitting or driving around in a car for 12 hours nonstop, that's exhausting. It's physically exhausting, it's mentally exhausting. And you know, think about this for a moment. Let's say a cop gets to the end of his or her shift. Let's say they've had a particularly stressful day. Let's say they are particularly tired because they've now worked their fourth 12-hour day in a row. Do you really think that they're going to be as mentally and physically aware, acute, as they should be? I can't fathom that they will because, folks, they're only human. We have not solved a problem by going to these 12-hour shifts. In fact, this is just one of what will be many domino effects of that decision. We need to figure out a way, ladies and gentlemen, we need to figure out a way somebody should answer the phone, by the way. We need to figure out a way to protect the people that are protecting us. How does that happen? How is it that we put these people in harm's way the whole time expecting them to do something superhuman? All right, you know, to work a 12-hour shift, maybe not be a big deal to you. Maybe that's not a big deal to me. But let me tell you, for somebody that easily puts in 12 hours every single day, and a 12-hour day would be a short day for me, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And we need to be careful. I'm telling you, the domino effect of making this decision, nothing good will come of it. And this is just one of, I'm afraid, what will be a series of stories about the police not being able to effectively do their jobs because, A, they're understaffed, and, B, they're way overworked. And, again, they continue to cut their pay. 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones and welcome my friend Theo in Detroit. Theo, good morning to you.
Well, good morning and happy Wednesday to you.
Thank you.
I wanted to weigh in on this subject that you had played a excerpt from the council president who was concerned about fees not being collected because the city needs revenue. And we've heard from the mayor who is concerned about coming up with a policy that says that the police personnel cannot date one another. Well, and each time that I've had an opportunity to ask him what he's doing about the income tax that's not being collected, well, we're working on it.
Well, Theo, let me interrupt you for a second. Mm-hmm. If you'll recall, in the consent decree that was signed with the state of Michigan, one of the functions was the state was supposed to work as a collection agency to collect those back taxes. I don't see it happening.
No.
I don't see it happening at all. Now, let's be clear about this. Not every employer is not paying their city taxes. Not every one of them. So I want to be clear on that. Mm-hmm. But those that are not, there are no penalties for them. And as I suggested yesterday, a lot of businesses only pay taxes when they're legally forced to do so.
Right.
Well, it's criminal, but it's not against the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you're right. They need to step up enforcement. If the city can't handle that task because they've laid off too many people, then hold the state liable for what they promised they would do in that consent decree. If they're not doing their job, therefore they have what? They have breached their contract, and the consent decree should be null and void.
Good point. Absolutely. But it seems that in the age of computers and technology, it could have been handled months ago. So
how about years ago?
Are they doing this intentionally, do you think?
I really can't answer that question, Theo. I really don't have an answer to that question, but I think that, like everything else, it's just it probably got so out of hand that they don't even know where to begin. And as sad of a statement as that is, I think that there's some truth to it. Theo, as always, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for being with us this morning, and happy Wednesday to you as well. This is a serious problem. If they're leaving $60 million a year on the table because they're not collecting, I believe it's a 0.5% tax, which some people, and we're not going to get into a debate about this, some people think it's unconstitutional because it's taxation without representation. If you're paying a employment tax in a city where you don't get to vote, some people find that to be unfair. Well, whether it's unfair or not, it is law. The employers are deducting it, and that's the problem. I guess that's the thing that Theo and I didn't get to. They are deducting that 0.5%, if it's still a 0.5%, it may be less and maybe more, I really don't know. It is being taken, deducted from somebody's paycheck. It's just not being, that money's not getting turned over to the city of Detroit, which is illegal. The way, of course, we know these things work is you'll get a letter to remind you. You'll get another letter to remind you. You'll get a threatening letter that says if you don't do this, then this will happen. That's the problem, though. Nothing ever happens. So as an employer, you don't worry about it because you know, like everything else that seems to be plaguing the city of Detroit right now, this is all bark and no bite. And, yeah, so if Charles Pugh really wants to see an increase in revenue. They're certainly going to make a whole lot more money after going after these employment taxes than they will going after traffic violations and those fines. I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that, but you have to be realistic about what it is you expect these people to do. These people would be, of course, the Detroit police. Wow. It's not even like it's difficult. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's none of that stuff. It's common sense. When you overwork and underpay somebody, you really have to be careful with what your expectations are, don't you? Well, we can talk about that or anything else you'd like, but we need to get to a break. Theo, again, thanks for the call. 888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take a quick break and be back right after we do this. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up at the top of the hour, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. You'll want to stay tuned for that. We've got a very busy day today. In the next 3 hours, we have 7 guests. Lots of good stuff coming your way, but we're going to go back to the phones. Again, if you want to join us, the number is toll-free, 888-552-3595. 95. Les in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my brother. I hope you're well.
Yes, I am, fellow patriot. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Great, 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 great. Now, I had got a ticket, a speeding ticket, which I know I wasn't speeding, you know, and I saw the officer laying there, you know, in the speed trap. So I went there. I went down to fight it, you know, and the officer didn't show up. And this was long before the 12-hour shift came in, okay? So this has been a practice, and it was a man, you know, before I got mine dismissed, it was about at least 50 other tickets got dismissed. So this tax revenue was being missing, you know, for a long time. So this is a problem. Now this it seemed like a problem since the officers, you know, been assigned to the 12-hour shift. No, this was going on long before. We're losing revenue long before this 12-hour shift thing.
That's because they've been understaffed long before the 12-hour shift thing.
Yeah, but it was still officers there, and they were sitting around, and they weren't being called. I was saying, I see about 6 to 8 officers sitting around, and, you know, and they sitting around waiting for the judge to come in, you know. So, I had a question mark about this, the system of collecting revenue and these police officers sitting around. You know, they should have been, if they know the police officers are there, then they need to, the judges need to step out and get on the bench and get these officers back in on duty. Or where they need to go, you know, dismiss them as soon as possible.
Well, you know, Les, here's part of the problem, though. In most municipalities, they have officers that are assigned to traffic duty. In the city of Detroit, because they're so understaffed, it's a rotating group of people. So it's not, you don't just have traffic duty. But the point I'm trying to make here is you understand that part of your job as a traffic enforcement officer is to go to court and to make sure that the people that you wrote tickets for are necessarily going to pay those tickets. Well, in the city of Detroit, because nobody's doing that as a full-time job anymore, these guys are saying, listen, I don't care that I get overtime. I'm working 12 hours. I'm tired. I'm not going to do it. That's now. Now, I can't tell you what it was like before because I don't know why, but I'm going to guess that it was still that they're understaffed. And for the little bit of money they get for overtime, it's not worth for them, even if you're working a 9-hour shift, to spend 2 or 3 hours in court not knowing if you're ever going to get called.
And make that long drive back home, huh?
Well, that depends where you live. I still think we need to go back to residency, to be honest with you.
Tony, and that's a lot of revenue going. You know, I know that police officers are bitching about money, but, you know, that's one of the revenues that we really lost, a big chunk of revenue. You know, if most of the city workers can live outside the city, that's a big chunk of revenue. See, I don't get that. It just seems like it's not rocket scientists, you know, need to figure this out. If you're moving out and you're taking money with you, there's nothing to fill that hole.
Yeah, well, it's a serious problem, Les, as we take a look at the way the city has been led over the course of, the last 20 years. There have been lots of decisions that have been made that just, obviously, in hindsight, it's easy to play money quarterback, pal, but, you know, you look back and, you know, whether we're talking residency, whether we're talking, you know, as Theo's call dealt with collection of employment taxes, the list goes on and on and on. You know, at some point we need to just draw a line in the sand and say, okay, enough's enough. We need to go back to residency for all City of Detroit employees. But, you know, here's part of the problem. Where do you go grocery shopping?
I shop at a store right now. I can, in walking distance for me.
No.
It's supplied. The fruit, 7 miles. I'm surrounded by markets around. Everywhere I go, our Arab brothers and sisters, they are doing, some of them are doing a great job of supplying groceries in the neighborhood.
But unless you also know that there are pockets in the city where there aren't stores. And this has become a very serious problem. You know, I think it's great that they're building, what are they building, a Myers or something on the old state fairgrounds. That's great, but that's not the heart of the city.
That is true.
You know, so we need to see. go
we
ahead.
Had to walk a little distance to markets too, and but we had those little buggies and my wagon, so it's that's not a a new problem. It's an old problem. It's just that you just got to walk a few extra blocks. That's all.
Yeah, but you know, and Les, as always, I appreciate your call, brother. I truly do. If we take the old problems and then we pile on with the new problems, it just continues to get exponentially worse. And that is of serious, serious concern to me. I've got to tell you that they desperately need leadership in the city of Detroit. We need to bring back the sense of community that we once had. We can't abandon the folks that have decided to stay. We can talk about, and we're going to with Stephen Henderson in the 8 o'clock hour about the poll that came out in the Detroit News yesterday. You know, the 40% of the people that were polled said that they will be moving from the city of Detroit over the next 5 years, mostly because of safety issues. That takes us back to the police issue. I'm going to have a real hard time, folks, not defending the police on this traffic enforcement issue. If somebody, and listen, let's be honest about it. I've met very few people that don't fight their traffic ticket. The reason that they don't, that they do fight them is you normally get it reduced, you get the fine reduced, and you get the infraction reduced. So it's well worth the effort it takes. This just happened to me personally in Livonia. So it's well worth that effort. If the policeman doesn't show up or the policewoman doesn't show up, and that's the condition by which you will be fined, and that's what how they measure it, well, so be it. I you can't compel, you can't force these officers to come in. Now, I honor what Les said. I truly do, that even long before they went to the 12-hour shifts, officers weren't showing up. But you heard the other part of what he said, that officers would show up and they'd never even call them in to the courtroom. So what the hell is that all about? The system's dysfunctional and it needs to be fixed. All right, we've got to take a break for the top of the hour here. And NBC News coming up. When we continue, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock will join us in the 7 o'clock hour, as well as Curtis Hertel Jr., who is the Ingham County Register of Deeds. So we've got a busy, busy morning. I hope you'll hang with us as long as you can, because there's some good stuff coming your way. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's head over to 96 eastbound at the Davison, where they've just cleared that accident. But we still have that closure of Mack Avenue East and West between Mount Elliott and East Grand Boulevard due to that structure fire. And 94 westbound at Rosso Highway, overturned vehicle is blocking your right lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61, and it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Presidential pundits agree you can't get much closer than this. NBC's Tracy Pop says Mitt Romney's debate bounce has brought him even and in some cases carried him past President Obama.
Warnings of trouble now for President Obama. Romney's closing the gap. The latest polls,
Reuters has them tied. Gallup has Romney up by 2. Pew has him up by 4.
The Supreme Court takes up affirmative action at universities today. Whether using race as an admissions factor constitutes illegal discrimination. The case could roll back affirmative action entirely. Toyota announcing another big recall. 7.5 million vehicles, model years 2005 to 2010, for a faulty power window switch that can heat up and even smoke. And want a promotion? Shave your head. A Wharton study says men with close-cropped or shaved heads are perceived as more masculine and dominant, with greater leadership potential. So in business, bald is beautiful. This is NBC News Radio. Politically sensitive congressional hearings set to begin today on diplomatic security in Libya, a month after the attack at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi that killed the U.S. ambassador and 3 other Americans. NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
4 Republican senators led by John McCain are demanding answers from the CIA director and other top intelligence officials. The State Department denies that it rejected requests for more security, but says House Republicans cut $300 million from their security budget.
The world's largest retailer wants to be the fastest, too. Walmart is following the lead of Amazon.com, testing same-day delivery service for customers who buy popular items online during the holidays. It's bearish on Wall Street. The Dow starts the day down 110 points, with futures pointing lower. And how do you like those tomatoes? The salad favorite is not only tasty, it can be a lifesaver, according to a study that shows antioxidants in tomatoes can lower the risk of stroke. That calls for a pizza, heavy on the tomato sauce. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Hey, it's me, Mike Rowe, and Fiona works at a Ford dealership, and she's with me today. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thank you.
You were just on the verge of telling me why I should bring my vehicle to a Ford dealership instead of some specialty tire store if I want good tires.
Well, to ensure that you have Ford experts working on your vehicle, all our service advisors and technicians are factory trained and certified for your vehicle specifically. And when it comes to tires, it's not just a tire, but the right tire is important for your vehicle.
Get the right tire and get a $60 mail-in rebate with 4 Goodyear, Dunlop, Continental Tire, Hankook, or Pirelli tires. That's on top of the low-priced tire guarantee.
So you're saying the right tire at the right price with the right rebate and the correct fit would send me away a happy customer?
Absolutely.
And you're able to assure that all those things will happen should I bring my vehicle to you?
To a Ford dealership.
What about you specifically?
You can come to my dealership.
All right.
I'd allow you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Rebate by check. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/12.
Slowing demand for manufacturing materials has contributed to falling profits for companies that supply those materials. And that certainly goes for Alcoa. The aluminum producer reports a loss for the third quarter, thanks especially to one-time charges. But its operating earnings, financial performance linked directly to its core business, came in better than expected. Alcoa stock inched higher in extended trades. Moving aggressively higher in after-hours trades has been Yum Brands, the company best known for the chains it runs. Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and KFC reports bigger-than-expected increases in sales across the world and a stronger-than-forecast bottom line. Yum also hiking its profit and sales forecast. This early morning, Costco Wholesale reports earnings and sales were better than expected last quarter, but a strong start to earnings season does not guarantee a strong finish. Nervous traders are pulling down stock futures. Right now, S&P futures down a point, NASDAQ futures down 3. Markets in Asia and Europe also lower today. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You could win an all-expense-paid trip for 2 to Hawaii to participate in football all-star weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common. IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Merriman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at Accountemps.
It's the same each time. With progress. First, they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 10th, 2012. As I said, we've got a very busy day today, and we begin this hour with a good friend of this program, a good friend of the electoral process, the good friend of democracy, and one of this state's and country's finest advocates and activists. I am speaking of the one and only Reverend Pastor D. Alexander Bullock of Rainbow Push, and he joins us today to talk about a voter action summit that you need to be aware of. As always, Reverend, it's great to have you on the show.
Good morning, Tony. Great to be on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I appreciate you continuing to place a focus where it needs to be placed, which is on getting out the vote. Let's talk about what's going on and what's coming up.
Definitely. We've got to now make sure that people go to the polls on November the 6th. But even before then, Tony, I'm calling today because the city clerk in Detroit has put in place what is called in-person absentee voting, which basically means you can vote right now. I actually voted last Thursday. And so we want to encourage people to take advantage of the in-person absentee voting. They can go down to the clerk's office. But what's great about what she's doing, she's actually opened up two sites in the city of Detroit, one at Wayne County Community College District Eastern Campus, Connor and 94, and one at Wayne County Community College District Western Campus, which is right off of Southfield and Outer Drive. And you can go and vote in-person absentee Monday through Saturday, and then she's also going to make it available the last two Sundays before November the 6th. And so we want to get that word out because this ballot is so complicated. Even when I was voting Thursday, I was amazed at how many ballot initiatives and how much time it took and how important it was to be informed. And so to make sure that people are informed, we're going to be training voter educators as well as voter activators and protectors on this Thursday at 6 p.m. This Thursday at 6 p.m., October the 11th, at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. I want people to meet me at 13651 DeQuinder, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. We've got a training in partnership with the Michigan Organizing Project and AIR, Rainbow Push, and others so that we will be able to have an army of volunteers who will be able to go door-to-door and do two things. One, educate people about the ballot initiatives. And two, let them know that there is in-person absentee voting. And three, we will be offering transportation using church vans and buses to these WC3D locations so people can vote even before November the 6th.
Now, do you have to have, like, absentee, your normal absentee process? Do you have to have a reason? I know, obviously, if you're over the age of 65, you can do it. So what are the qualifying rules that will allow you to vote early?
That's right. That's a great question. Definitely, if you're over 65, you can do it. But also, if you expect a key word here, if you expect to either be out of town or be busy on election day. So if you're working two jobs, you think you may have, you expect to have a challenge getting to the polls. You may be working the polls. You may be knocking doors. You may be driving vans on November the 6th because you may be volunteering. If you expect to have some difficulty, then you can vote in-person absentee before November the 6th. And so that's the only criteria. Again, I voted Thursday. It was exhilarating. We were down at WC3D Eastern Campus. I cast my ballot, and I think it's a great opportunity for folks to not only be educated, but also to cast their ballot and make sure they're counted even before November the 6th.
All right. So, again, let me just repeat that. Tomorrow evening, which is Thursday, October 11th at 6 p.m. at the Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church, which is located on 13651 on DeQuinder in Detroit. You are meeting people there. Obviously, we need volunteers. We need people to help out at the polls. We need people to help get out the vote. So this is an opportunity for people to get involved, not just in voting early, but in actually helping others to get out and vote as well.
That's right. In terms of voter activation and mobilization, but also voter education. What we'll be doing tomorrow, in addition to coordinating volunteers to help get people to the polls and to help get people to these in-person absentee voting sites, we also will be taking people through the ballot initiative so that they'll be able to go back to their locals, back to their churches, back to their block clubs, back to their places of business, and educate people on what these initiatives mean. So much misinformation out there about Proposal 1, about Proposal 2, and many of the other proposals that are on the table. Some key proposals about Wayne County and about the city of Detroit's charter that are on that ballot. And so we will be educating volunteers who then will be able to go back to their communities and their churches and their locals and their block clubs and their family members and educate them about the initiative so that when we enter the booth, we enter the booth excited but also informed.
Well, again, this is important. I don't know that we've ever had quite an effort this large. I know that last week you had an event with Reverend Jesse Jackson. I believe it was on the 4th. Continuing to motivate and inspire people to get engaged. As you know, Sunday evening, I participated. You had sent a representative, but I participated in an Occupy the Vote rally at the Redford Theater in Detroit. It's nice to see young people in the city getting engaged, understanding, David, their role in the democracy process and taking a little control of it. I got to tell you, it was pretty empowering for me.
You know what, Tony? I'm excited about the energy, too. I want to thank Joe Black. I want to thank Bartos and Ryan Bates and Pastor Maurice Ruz, Reverend Charles Williams, I mean, so many, Donnell White, Detroit Branch, NAACP, all of our Rainbow Push supporters, so many people, and again, young people who are getting involved, activists, yes, but also artists, pastors, parents and teachers, people who are concerned that this election is probably the most important, not just national decision we'll make, but there are so many important decisions on the local level that we must be informed and engaged.
Now, there's no question that's true. You know, it's fascinating. We take a look. I don't think people fully understand the commitment that so many. You had mentioned Bartos and Ryan and some others. These are people, of course, that I know, Joe Black. And, you know, people have no idea how much of their time they give to the cause of democracy, Reverend Bullock, and including yourself. There's no such thing as overtime in your world. In fact, I don't know that you have an off switch, to be honest with you. I don't know that I want you to have one, to be honest with you. It certainly is critically important that we understand what's at stake here. You know, you mentioned the complicated ballot. It is complicated. The good news is there are lots of things that you can do to make that easier, including bringing in a sample ballot already filled out and transferring that information. So this is the time, although we're still 3.5 weeks actually four, was it 4 weeks from today? 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today, that we actually vote. It's not too early to prepare. Let's try to get a call in real quick here. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Tom, you're on the air with Reverend Bullock.
Yeah, good morning to both of you. You know, Tony,
good
what
morning.
I've been doing is I've been taking absentee ballot applications to schools because for the teachers to try and, which I'm anticipating some long lines because, you know, some folks are going to get in there and they're going to try and read through all of that stuff on their ballot. But what I've been doing is I've been taking absentee ballot applications to the schools because they're not going, you know, teachers are not going to have time, that time in the morning to get there and vote and then get to the classroom. And at the end of the day, after you've taught all day, you don't necessarily want to stand in a long, long line. So, I mean, I've been doing what I've been doing, and I've been also advocating people to do your homework at home. And like Tony says, check off on these sample ballots what you want and what you don't, you know, not necessarily what you don't want, but check out what you want. And then take that in there with you, and you can make it real easy.
Yep. That's, and, Tom, thank you for that. And, you know, again, Reverend Bullock, it's, you know, Tom is, again, one of those guys volunteering, taking his own time, dropping off absentee ballots. This is the kind of effort we need.
That's right. And I also want to applaud Janice Winfrey, our city clerk, for opening up and working with WC3D these sites so that people don't have to go down to the boulevard. But if you're on the east side, you can go to Wayne County Community College District East. If you're on the west side, you can go to Wayne County Community College on the west. And then I want to applaud her for the last two Sundays of October where you'll actually be able to vote in-person absentee on Sunday. So if you're one of those teachers, if you're a volunteer who's going to be volunteering on November the 6th, you can vote before November the 6th. I also want to applaud all the pastors who are preparing to use their vans, not just for November the 6th, but also to connect people to this in-person absentee voting process. And again, Tony, you know, we're out here working hard because when I think about Dr. King and Medgar Evers and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, I think about all the people who gave much more than I have given. They gave their life so that we would have the right to vote and that we would have the full franchise in America. The least I can do is do what I'm doing right now.
Well, and I appreciate that. Listen, I don't know if you've got another interview coming up, but if you can stay with us a little longer, you recently wrote an op-ed. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that.
Okay, yeah, I can stick around.
All right, good. Well, stay where you're at. Let's take a very quick break here. The Reverend Pastor D. Alexander Bullock is my guest. Early voting, we'll give you that information again when we get to the other side of the break. For now, we've got to take the break, so let's do it. 888-552-3595. Tom, thanks for the call. This is First Shift. Stay engaged. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it, yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC, his millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, we've picked up a new problem on M53 southbound just before 23 mile. Accident has your left lane blocked and that's causing stop and go traffic from 26 mile. Still have that serious fire on Mack Avenue east and west between Mount Elliott and East Grand Boulevard, so use caution in that area. On the Lodge southbound at 94, accident is blocking the left side of the ramp to 94 eastbound and that's also causing Gawker delays on 94 eastbound. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61. And it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Recently on First Shift.
Junior Senator from the state of Michigan, Debbie Stabenow, who joins us now.
You know, we in Michigan are a tough, independent lot. Folks expect you to work hard and earn their vote, and so I work hard to do that every day. And having lived in Michigan my whole life, I feel a real commitment to Michigan to make sure that I'm there in the middle of the fights that are going to make the difference for us.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center. If Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest again is the Reverend Pastor D. Alexander Bullock. I want to remind you, there is a Detroit Voter Action Summit tomorrow evening, which is Thursday, October 11th at 6 p.m. at the Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church, which is located at 13651 DeQuinder. Again, at 6 p.m., be there or be square. Reverend Bullock, you have recently written an op-ed piece that I found fascinating. It's titled Barack Obama, New White, in parentheses, Leadership, and the Racial Politics of a Poll. And, of course, this is in response to a poll that appeared in the Detroit News yesterday. David, what moved you to write this?
You know what, Tony? This has been brewing now for about 2 weeks. So much going on in the city of Detroit. But I was struck, I've been struck by the language of people being disappointed by leadership. You know, whether that's the leadership of President Barack Obama, whether that's the leadership of Mayor Dave Bing, the leadership of City Council. I've been struck by that conversation and how certain media outlets have been focusing on individual leaders as opposed to calling the community together and building community engagement and community leadership. And so I wanted to try to write a piece that responded to this continuing reporting of hopelessness and despair in the city of Detroit, because what, you know, my experience on the ground is that there are a number of Detroiters who are actively engaged. They've dug in. And we're working together to make the city a better place, not looking for one man or woman to make the difference, but looking for all of us to come together and make the change.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. I have this conversation a lot on this show. I talk about it a lot when I speak publicly. Certainly, I address this on Sunday evening. Reverend Bullock, I just have to be honest. I really, there was this part of me, this romantic, idealistic part of me, that when we elected Barack Obama as the president, that somehow something magic might happen, that we will have transcended race, that we will have broken through, I don't know, an imaginary or maybe not so imaginary wall that seemed to exist, although we couldn't see it, we felt it, we knew it was there. And unfortunately, things have not gotten better, in my opinion. They've gotten worse. And I say they, rich white men, love to use racism in a very covert way, sometimes overt, but mostly covert way, to continue to suppress society. They don't want young black men and women voting because they know they don't vote for rich white men. They don't want young black men and women leading because they know that they actually represent a much bigger constituency than they're willing to recognize exists. I'm very concerned about race, and I'm very concerned about this city, and I'm very concerned about the state and the country. And I do not believe that we have made any progress. In fact, I believe that by electing Barack Obama, which should have been and was for maybe 20 minutes a really great moment in our history, quickly dissipated. I'm very concerned.
No, Tony, you know, you should be, as am I. I think we've seen these racial code words. I mean, one of the things that I try to suggest in the piece that I've written is that it's very strange that when you have an African-American male in leadership, you hear these code words. Even Kid Rock said yesterday, Barack Obama's a nice guy, you know, but he couldn't do the job. I mean, but if you look at Massachusetts, I mean, what did Mitt Romney do the job in Massachusetts? Did Bush do the job? But somehow these words didn't do the job. What's his citizenship? You know, looking at his vacation policy. And then when you look at the images of African-American male leadership, you know, in the city of Detroit, very rarely do you see a positive image of African-American leadership. You always see a negative image, whether it's, you know, the present scandal with the chief or the mayor. Again, they talk about the mayor like they talk about the president. He's a good guy, but he hasn't been able to make the tough decisions. And we've got to really begin to confront the reality of these racial code words in our culture and in our politics, because it becomes very, very discouraging for a certain segment of the population to always see their leadership denigrated. And then it also discourages younger African Americans from wanting to enter leadership, because who wants to be on display in public and be denigrated and not being given a fair shot to do the job?
Well, that is unfortunately one of the stark realities. You're right. Who would ask for that? There are some, but not many, and certainly not enough. And, you know, we talk about representative government. We don't have representative government. If we did, our Congress at the state level, our Congress at the federal level would look very different than it does today. Yet we don't see that kind of representation. And I get very, you know, not everybody is of the quality and character of Gary Peters, who doesn't look at people differently. He sees us all as equals. But not everybody's Gary Peters, Reverend Bullock.
No, not everybody's Gary Peters. Gary Peters is a special guy. We supported him, and we look forward to his future. But more than Gary Peters or Barack Obama, or whoever would aspire to leadership, I think we have to stop expecting individual people to make up the difference that can only be resolved when the community comes together. The problems that we face in Detroit, in Michigan, and indeed across the nation were not broken by one man or woman and cannot be fixed by one man or woman. And until we stop looking for the knight on the white horse to come and save us, whether that be a rich white businessman or a charismatic African-American leader or a very, very intelligent Hispanic female, we've got to stop identifying individuals and looking for them to solve the problems that we can only solve when we come together as a community.
Well, the brilliance of that statement, and I always go back to the election of 2004, when John Kerry and John Edwards were running, I wasn't necessarily in love with the ticket. What I was in love with was the people that they would bring back into government. There are still, and some of them now serve in the Obama administration. Under the Clinton years, feel however you want to feel about President Clinton, he had an amazing, diverse team of people that were able to move the country in a way that no president in modern history was able to do. So you're right. This was, I always think not necessarily about the individual, but who the individual attracts, who they surround themselves with, who leads as a result of some of their guidance. So yes, that individual can have a tremendous impact, but it's the team that they bring to the table. I wish we had more time, Reverend Bullock. Unfortunately, as always, it goes by too quick, and we'll look forward to having you on again very, very soon.
Tony, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, my brother. All right, we've got to take a break. We'll post all the information to the voting summit tomorrow evening up on the Facebook page. In the meantime, we have to take a break. Curtis Hertel Jr., when we continue here on First Shift, please stay with us. Much more to come.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your roadways, we got two problems. First one's over on 696 westbound, just after Hoover Road. Accident has your right lane blocked with slow traffic from the Bunner-Grosbeck exit. And another accident is blocking your right shoulder on 96 westbound at 94. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61, and it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Bill Bailey is one of the Walmart warehouse workers who struck the Elwood, Illinois Walmart warehouse. He describes returning to work after the strike, having won all the strike demands.
We went back in Saturday morning as a group wearing Warehouse Workers for Justice t-shirts. We went in at different times, some of us at 6 and some of us at 8, but at both shifts on, as a group. We got back pay for the full period we were out. We got one period's pay upon arrival. I got a check for $450. They say the rest of the pay will be on the following paycheck. Following through with that. We also got safety gear, shin guards for everyone, and then we found that they'd installed giant airplane propeller style fans for the first time. We won everything that we had demanded and the unfair labor practice strike. We were reinstated with back pay. As far as we're concerned, it's a victory.
Leah Freed of Warehouse Workers for Justice says that Victoria's former Walmart warehouse strikers from Illinois Wednesday will join other Walmart workers in Arkansas to take a message directly to the giant retailer's board.
And they will be calling on Walmart to immediately end all of the retaliation for workers speaking out against poor conditions and to improve conditions throughout their supply chain and their company.
Vote for Obama, lose your job. At least that's what it seems like one CEO is proposing to his employees. Jesse Russell reports.
Westgate Resort's CEO David Siegel sent an email to workers telling them that if President Barack Obama is reelected and he has to pay any new taxes, he'll fire his employees. Siegel had a net worth of nearly $1 billion before the real estate market went bust during the Bush administration. When that happened, Siegel was in a pickle because most of his millions were tied up in securities and not in savings. Lenders also weren't lending due to the housing crisis. Siegel has a habit of bragging that he was responsible for the election of George W. Bush. In a documentary called The Queen of Versailles, Siegel said he would put negative articles about Al Gore in with the paychecks of his workers. He said his manager surveyed employees, and if they said they liked Bush, the company would make sure those workers registered to vote, but not if they liked Gore. The film in which Siegel made the claims was about his attempt and failure to build the biggest mansion in the United States.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the Office and Professional Employees International Union and from the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. As everybody that listens to this program knows, I have been quite vested in the Supreme Court race this time around. There's a profoundly decent reason for that. We know that Judge Markman, Judge Zahara have not been very good to, well, the middle class and everyday people. We also know that the people that are supporting them, I should say perhaps maybe the industries that are supporting them, should give us reason for pause, but more importantly, perhaps are saying something that we need to talk about in a more brave way. As Mark Brewer said when he was on the show just 2 days ago, the Michigan Association of Realtors has enhanced the pockets of the campaigns of those two Supreme Court justices who are running for re-election. We, of course, that would be us, the Democrats, have a very different idea of what the courts should look like. Ergo, we have three wonderful candidates, Sheila Johnson, Connie Kelly, and Bridget McCormick. Well, with that said, we now turn to our next guest to talk about some of the dangers of one of those groups that is supporting the two incumbent justices, and that is Curtis Hertel Jr., the Ingham County Register of Deeds, who is no stranger to this audience. Curtis, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us this morning. Oh, there you are. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for joining us this morning. You know, you and I, of course, have talked on a handful of occasions now, and you've been very good at keeping my audience updated on what's happening with foreclosures and these foreclosure meals, these robo-signing problems. And you, of course, have been very active both in your role as the Register of Deeds in Ingham County, but also from a legal perspective, trying to hold people accountable. Well, I guess, Curtis, that leads me to where I'm going now. When we take a look at those that are supporting these incumbent justices that we know have not been very good to the everyday folk that are listening to this show, and we see that the Michigan Association of Realtors has now invested more than $125,000 in their campaigns, that really should give us reason for some concern, should it not?
You know, I don't think the Michigan Association of Realtors are bad people, but I disagree with them on this issue. In the reality, what the effect of the MERS ruling was to allow thousands of foreclosures that had been declared illegal before this to be made legal and speed up the process and let a shadow registry system, not a bank, not someone who has skin in the game, go ahead and foreclose on people. The problem with that is that it not only increased the amount of foreclosures in the state, but also allowed for very little review in that process, even saying that someone who had no interest in the loan could foreclose, which I think is a very bad decision. So I'm focused on the Supreme Court. I'm focused on the idea of what their decisions have been, basically has been to side with corporations over people. And, you know, I think that in this case, they overturned over seven decades of precedent basically side with a shadow registry system against the people of the state of Michigan, and I strongly disagree with that.
Well, you know, listen, what you're talking about is something that's based in fact. So let's be honest about this. This isn't just your opinion. This is something that's based in fact, correct?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are legal opinions on both sides, but in terms of what the result of the ruling was and what the result of a lot of their rulings are, is people suffer and corporations seem to benefit. And there seem to be a rule of law court when it comes to cases where it helps a corporation, but if it's a situation where they're overturning seven decades of precedent and it hurts people, they don't seem to be a rule of law court then. So to me, that's an interesting problem. I think they were dead wrong on the merger decision. I think the Court of Appeals made a very good decision, basically saying, hey, let's slow down this process. Let's get somebody with skin in the game involved in these mortgages. Let's make sure that a modification, at least is a possibility in the foreclosure process. And the Supreme Court said no and led to thousands of foreclosures. And we should care about it not only because of the terrible result that had for the individual people involved in that case and the thousands of people who were being illegally foreclosed, but for all of our property values. And this is where I disagree with the court, and I disagree with those that were in support of the decision. Yeah, we made the real estate market move faster, but what we didn't do is actually stop these foreclosures. And each foreclosure in your neighborhood costs you $1,500. In value. So we're talking about tens of thousands of foreclosures across the state that were made legal by this. We're talking about millions of dollars in lost value to Michigan residents. So every foreclosure in your neighborhood that was put forward by the Supreme Court cost you money, and you should be concerned about that.
Well, you know, we often use a saying on this show that, that certainly I didn't coin nor invent, but certainly don't mind using it, and that's follow the money. And when we do the follow the money game here, and we see who is supporting which candidates, we know that, unfortunately, with regard to the right-leaning members of the Michigan State Supreme Court, that it's insurance companies, it's associations that benefit from these rulings. It's businessmen like the Maroon family, whose family has given record amounts of money to these justices for their campaigns. And so when we play the follow the money game, Curtis Hertel Jr., we got to kind of ask ourselves this question. Is this what's in the best interest of us? And at the end of the day, when you vote for a judge, whether it's the Supreme Court or any other level, you really do have to make this a personal decision. It should be about people that you feel will be fair. And there's reason to believe, suspicion or not, that these are not fair people.
Yeah, I mean, my point would be, we all have to raise money in politics. So I don't like to say that people are bought and paid for those things, but I would say that it does show who's on your side, and who's on your side often, you end up being supportive of the people that are on your side, just because that's how things work often. And in this situation, they've received a lot of money from corporations, from insurance companies, from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. And I think if you look at their rulings, the reason that they get that kind of support is that they almost always fall on the side of those groups. And I'm not saying it's corrupt. What I'm saying is that shouldn't we want someone who's going to be on the side of us? I mean, obviously, they care a lot about having someone on their side. We should care about having someone on our side as well. And to knock off these incumbents who have not been on our side would be a very good thing. They literally cost us millions of dollars of value of our homes here and across the state, and it had a great effect on the middle class. We're all underwater. So why allow more foreclosures when we could have stopped it, and there was 70 years of precedent saying that what was done was illegal?
Yeah, well, again, it's just it's dumbfounding, and it's one of those things that you really need to point out. And sadly, and Curtis, let's just be honest about it. We watch all the political commercials that are out. You don't have much of a choice. They're everywhere these days. I see a commercial last night supporting the three Republican-nominated members for the Supreme Court. They talk about how they're, you know, pro-worker, pro-middle-class, pro-family, pro-employee. And I'm looking and I'm saying, okay, I realize that I'm a little more informed than the average bear. I get that. But these three are none of those things based on strictly based, they may be personally, but you wouldn't know that based on the decisions that they make and the victories they've given to insurance companies and mortgage servicers, etc.
Their commercial says that they protect housing values. I mean, which is insane. I mean, if anyone looked at the decision, I mean, the only housing value that I think they actually probably protected was Bobby Shostak, who's a Republican Party chair's brother. I mean, I don't think there's anybody else that they can actually point to. That's one of the few decisions where they actually made where they were on the side of a person and not the side of the not the side of a corporation. And really, in all honesty, they didn't have a whole lot of choice after the legislature rammed through a bill trying to protect him. It's, you know, I find it very odd that this legislature, we've had thousands of illegal foreclosures across the state, no legislation concerned about it, well, the worst foreclosure crisis in history, and almost nothing done. But you know, one person who happens to be related to the Republican Party loses a few million dollars in an investment deal, and all of a sudden he has to actually have a legislation to protect him. How about some legislation to actually protect the average citizen who's losing their home, which we have tens of thousands in this state every year?
Well, there's no question. We can't, not only can we not get that done at the state level, we can't even get it done at the federal level. And these are the kind of things that, of course, not only help people, they help an entire industry. It would, you know, if we began to protect the consumer, it would really turn around the real estate industry. And Curtis, many municipalities, and who knows this better than you do, are so handcuffed by property values that it, in what this government has done with revenue sharing, that's why we're finding so many communities in such profound difficulty when the answer is staring us in the face. Well, Curtis, I want to thank you so much for sharing your point of view on this morning. Of course, we're going to continue to advocate for the three candidates that I believe in, and I appreciate your time.
We're on the same page there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Curtis Sertell, Jr., again, Register of Deeds in Ingham County, always a good friend of this program, and we were happy to have him with us this morning. We're going to take a very quick break here. When we continue, got a little audio I want to get to you, and I'll tell you about a concert this evening in Ann Arbor that you may want to attend. If you remember Roy Zimmerman, he was in studio with me, I don't know, a year ago or so. We had maybe a little bit too much fun when he was here, but we'll talk about that as well. Let's get to the break. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
If American voters are paying attention to Romney's trip, they can't be comforted by Mitt Romney's performance.
The Chicago Tribune quoted our old friend Rahm Emanuel saying, "I don't know how he'll handle the head of state job. He's made a mess of being a tourist."
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is the author of Obama's America, Dr. Ian Riefewicz.
Our friend Mitt Romney has a book called No Apology, The Case for American Greatness. And to me, this sounds like a five-year-old running for president. How can you say that our country is so great that I'll never, ever, ever apologize for it, never, ever, ever? It sounds like the next thing he's going to say, I'm going to hold my breath until I turn blue. I mean, it's absurd. You have Barack Obama, and you can look at his statements on any number of examples, but he can talk in his Nobel Prize speech about our role in the world over time. And he praised the tremendously positive things that we've done over the world, whether, you know, leading the coalition against Nazism, all these various things. But he also says, but there have been instances where we've made some mistakes. Well, that's very different from, I'm never, ever going to apologize. It's recognizing that a country can be great and good and yet imperfect, and it can do better.
On 1310
WDTW. Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. I want to thank again Curtis Hertel Jr. for his time, and certainly the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. Coming up at the top of the hour, Stephen Henderson will be with us, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. But before I play a little Roy Zimmerman song, those of you that he's a satirist, musician, was in studio, had us in stitches the entire time he was here, is going to be in Ann Arbor tomorrow or tonight. And he just let me know last night that he was going to be here. Or we would have had him back in studio, but we'll get him the next time. But before we get to that, Mitt Romney sat down with Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and I think it's good that he's talking to somebody besides Fox. He's just sitting down now with the lowest-rated cable news network in the country. Isn't that amazing how CNN has had such a reversal of fortune? They, for the longest time, were number one, and now they are the least watched cable news outlet in the country. It's pretty fantastic. Anyway, Wolf Blitzer sat down with Mitt Romney and asked him about the 47% comments. Of course, Mitt, being Mitt, had this to say.
That 47% comment that you made, it's caused you a lot of grief. As you know, there's been a change in your position over these past few weeks. It went from you were initially saying once that tape came out that you weren't exactly elegantly stating your position. Later, and more recently, you said you were completely wrong. I'm curious, Governor, how did that evolution in your thinking go on from the initial reaction once that tape came out to what you said the other day that you were completely wrong?
Well, what I'm saying is that what the words were that came out were not what I meant. And what I mean, I think people understand, is that if I'm president, I'll be president of 100% of the people. My whole campaign is about helping the middle class have rising incomes and more jobs and helping get people out of poverty into the middle class. That's what this whole campaign is about. The wealthy are doing fine right now, and they'll do fine, most likely, regardless of who's elected president. It's the middle class that's having a hard time under President Obama. And my campaign is about 100% of the American people. And so that describes why, you know, what was stated in the tape was not referring to what kind of president I'd be or who I'd be fighting for. Instead, was talking about politics, and it just didn't come out the way I meant it.
If you had a do-over, Governor, and you mentioned 47%, what should you have said about that 47%?
Well, Wolf, as you know, I was talking about how do you get to 50.1% of the vote? I'd like to get 100% of the vote, but I figured that's not going to happen. So I was trying to tell contributors how I get to 50.1%. I think it's always a perilous course for a candidate to start talking about the mathematics of an election. My campaign is about talking about how to get 100% of the Americans to have a more bright and prosperous future.
Actually, maybe I'm hearing this wrong, but it sounds to me like now he is disrespecting the wealthy. I mean, you can't say you're going to, you know, the rich are doing fine and they're going to be fine no matter who the president is. But, you know, you got to be careful the words you use. And for those of you that are not aware of this, I'm a media trainer by profession. And so words matter. When you say I didn't say what I meant, I think. I think are two words that I tell my media training client are wiggle words. It says, I'm not sure. I think means I'm not sure. So he's not sure that what he said was what he really wanted to say. But he knows that it wasn't what he wanted to say, but you see where the trap is there. So, Mitt, go figure it out. All right, we'll get to some more audio a little bit later on. I want to play a little bit. Actually, we can play the whole Roy Zimmerman tune titled Vote Republican. Folks, listen, enjoy, and just listen and enjoy.
Offshore drilling is completely safe. You're getting sleepy. Tax cuts for the rich create new jobs. You're getting sleepy. Financial corporations will police themselves, and illegal aliens are stealing all your pens. Now when I count to three and snap my fingers, you will awake refreshed and vote Republican. White people are the real victims of racism. You're getting sleepy. Fox News is fair and balanced. Sleepy. Healthcare is a privilege and not a right. We can work together to wipe out the middle class. Now when I count to three and snap my fingers, you'll awake confused and vote Republican. I'm not saying Barack Obama is a foreign-born Islamist puppy eater. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you decide. There's no evidence to suggest that Nancy Pelosi is a thousand-year-old Nazi vampire. But that's what I heard. Somebody said that it was me. Democrats want to put you in a re-education camp and kill your grandma and bring Stalin back to life. Now when I count to three and snap my finger, Republican. And we'll prove it. John Boehner uses no tanning products. Sleepy. Mitt Romney is a regular guy. So sleepy. Sarah Palin is a real anything. Ronald Reagan. Sleepy. Sleepy. So when I turn the Washington Mall into a private putting green, you'll vote Republican. And when I turn Social Security over to a bunch of drunken day traders, you'll vote Republican. And when I drag the nation through 8 years of carnage and incompetence and leave the place a bigger mess than Lindsay Lohan's trailer, then blame the Democrats for cleaning up too slow. You will awake confused, refreshed, somewhat paranoid, and you'll remember nothing. And vote Republican. You're getting sleepy, Republican. And somewhat sheepy, Republican. Lullaby.
All right, we'll leave it there, folks. We got to take a break for the top of the hour. Roy Zimmerman, again, he'll be in Ann Arbor at the Hill tonight. Go check it out. I've got to take a break. We'll do that. Steven Henderson on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, we got two problems. First one's over on 696 westbound, just after Hoover Road. accident has your right lane blocked with slow traffic from the Bunner-Grosbeck exit. And another accident is blocking your right shoulder on 96 westbound at 94. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61. And it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan need to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Klishevsky. A politically charged congressional hearing on security in Libya kicks off today, a month after the attack at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi that killed the U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
The State Department blames Republican cuts on their security budget requests. This is fast becoming an explosive political issue, as committee Democrats complain they have had no access to key witnesses or to documents.
Republicans claim the Obama team dropped the ball on security at a critical moment. Affirmative action at universities on the Supreme Court's agenda. The justices hear arguments on whether using race as an admissions factor constitutes illegal discrimination. It's bearish on Wall Street. The Dow starts the day down 110 points with futures pointing lower. And the chemistry's right for two U.S. scholars this morning. Americans Robert Lefkowitz and Brian Kobilka sharing this year's Nobel Prize in Chemistry for their pioneering work on protein receptors. This is NBC News Radio. Talk about a horse race. New polls show Mitt Romney's debate bounce has brought him even and in some cases carried him past President Obama. While the president still leads in most swing states, Governor Romney has narrowed those margins. Success in space. For the second time, a private company, SpaceX, has sent a cargo capsule to the International Space Station.
This is Mission Control Houston. Once again, the Dragon spacecraft has been successfully grappled and captured by the crew of Expedition 33 aboard the International Space Station.
The capsule contains 1,000 pounds of gear, science experiments, and groceries, even some ice cream for the astronauts aboard the ISS. And if spending $2 a gallon on gas sounds inviting, Honda has the answer. But it's a different kind of gas. The Civic CNG runs on compressed natural gas, and Honda is offering $3,000 discounts on its clean energy model. Not surprisingly, sales in California at an all-time high. I'm Jim Klishevsky, NBC News Radio.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you...
There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yep.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Are you a classic car buff or a fast ride enthusiast? Vote today in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Dream Car Election and you could win $50,000. Polls are open, so vote every day through November 6th for your chance to win. See O'ReillyAuto.com for official rules and full details. We're O'Reilly Auto Parts and we approve this message.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the mid-1980s, Apple famously showed its co-founder Steve Jobs the door and launched an effort to be more like its far bigger computing rival, Microsoft. My, how the desk has turned. In a speech late yesterday, Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft, laid out a new growth strategy for his company. It will include heavy emphasis on hardware and online services, pointing to its upcoming Surface tablet device, Ballmer also laying out hints it may build its own phone, all moves mimicking Apple's success. FedEx is looking to deliver a more streamlined operation in the future, so it is targeting $1.7 billion in cost cuts, mostly to the FedEx Express division. Details of just how it will save all that money will come today. No word as yet on job cuts, but analysts expect to hear something about that. Stock futures holding on to losses, but they keep getting smaller. S&P futures down just half a point now. NASDAQ futures losing 1. Dow futures slipping 17. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common. IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You could win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common. IBM System X, x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Merriman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
We are in strange times. Politicians would rather fight against each other instead of for the country. People worry about Wall Street daily. But what about Main Street? Who was on our side? What do we have going for us? We've got First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Lots of stuff to do moving forward. In this hour, Stephen Henderson and Desiree Cooper with a special guest in studio today, actress and comedian Satori Shakur. They have a benefit performance coming up, and we're going to tell you all about that. A little later on in the day, the state rep candidates Joanna Van Raphorst and Neil Billington in the 45th and 43rd House districts, respectively. And then Dr. Syed Taj, who's running in the 11th Congressional, joins us to round out the day. So we've got a lot of stuff to get to, so let's hit the ground running. If I could have an introduction, please.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal, the Detroit Free Press's and First Shift voice of reason.
The Republican Party has now officially unmasked itself as primarily existing to protect the wealthiest Americans from any tax increases, as they don't appear to really have any other core principle that they're unwilling to bargain with, which is really disappointing because it's a party that has a very important and rich history and has a record of focusing on lots of different things, but it has been reduced to this one issue.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is Mr. Stephen Henderson. Stephen, as always, a pleasure to chat with you. Okay, there we go. Stephen, as always, a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's not you. It's we've got a hinky mouse in the control room that just doesn't always work the way we want it to. So, but we've got you now. That's the important thing. Appreciate you being with us this morning. Certainly, we haven't had a chance to talk since the debate last week, as we were doing that fundraiser for Planned Parenthood last week. So I do want to kind of circle back around, and important to talk about that because, well, frankly, it fits into where we're at today. It's been an interesting week for both candidates. It was certainly an interesting evening. Certainly the first thing I saw when I got up that morning was your column, which was at the top of the Freep webpage and stayed there for the majority of the day. I'm going to bet that you got lots of response to that, Stephen Henderson.
Yeah, just a little bit from people who
agreed and people who disagreed. What was interesting was the number of Romney supporters who wrote me nasty notes about how they couldn't believe I didn't think that Romney won the debate. I sort of said, well, I thought that's what I said in the column.
That's actually what you did say in the column.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. But it just sort of shows that people see what they want to see, I think, a lot of times, and don't read very carefully. I thought the debate was, a pretty surprising non-performance from the president, who's typically not. I mean, I think those of us who have supported the president tend to overestimate his skill in that area, and we tend to forget some of the more glaring missteps he's made before in that kind of forum. If you think back to 2008. The debates he had with Hillary Clinton, he didn't do that well in those. And in that spring of that year, he stumbled a lot, and I think he said some things at times that didn't seem to make him look the best. And he missed a lot of opportunities to jump on things that Clinton said. Unfortunately, last week we saw that Barack Obama sort of emerge again. At a much more critical time for him, and then we saw this Mitt Romney, who I don't know that anybody's seen before, sort of reinvent himself in front of 70 million people and become this bulldog, attacking the president's record in a way that seemed at least very effective.
Well, it did, and of course, we've now seen the polling numbers, and not that I didn't expect it to get tight. It did get tight, and that's, I think it would have with or without a debate as we get closer. I said this on the air yesterday, much to the chagrin of some of my listeners, and a more serious candidate, and I'm just going to throw a name out there, Stephen, a Jeb Bush would be beating the tar out of Barack Obama right now.
Yes. Oh, there's no question that. Given the economy controls so much of people's perception of the presidency. When things are going well, they like the president. When things aren't going well, they don't like the president. And this recovery from the recession has been slow. Now, I happen to think it's slow because of the fundamentals, because of the problems that are driving unemployment and things like that actually are mostly out of the reach of the federal government, at least in the short term. But I think a lot of people believe that the president could be doing more, that we could be enacting things that would get more people back to work. And so, against a generic Republican, I think Barack Obama would be down, significantly. So it's been mystifying, frankly, why Mitt Romney has not been able to sort of take capitalize on that. Last week we saw him pivot in a way that might be the beginning of him trying to do that or doing that effectively. I guess we'll see where it goes from now.
Well, we will, and I don't. I'm not delusional. I certainly believe that President Obama obviously could have did a much better job of defending his record. The immediate, and it's even literally that morning, we did nothing but take calls all morning long. People want, how did this happen? Why did it happen? Well, A, let's put it behind us because it's over. B, there are two more presidential debates. C, we have the debate tomorrow night with the vice presidential candidates. And I don't know that moves the needle in any particular direction. We know that Joe Biden is a very good debater. We knew Barack Obama wasn't a very good debater. We already knew that. So it didn't necessarily come as a big shock to me that he didn't do well. But what I found interesting is, and it happened again with Mitt Romney yesterday, as I know you're aware, he's now making comments about women's reproductive rights as if he's some kind of moderate suddenly.
Yeah.
He reinvents himself on a daily basis. And,
yeah, and I think that's one of the more concerning aspects of Romney. And, if I go back to our primary endorsement in the Republican primary, we endorsed Romney, but what we said was we were endorsing the Mitt Romney who had been governor of Massachusetts, and that, you know, we wished that person would show up again for this race because he'd been sort of running from that record. And now he seems to be running back toward it because I think he thinks, and I used to write, that's the kind of Republican message that's going to sell with independents in particular. I don't think that's going to work long term. I think you know, the president will do better in subsequent debates, and Mitt will only get so much mileage out of this because there are so many people pointing out that what he's saying doesn't square with what he's been saying for so long, and that raises credibility problems with more discerning voters. So, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, American politics right now, because of this divide between the two parties and what I would describe as the sort of locked in insanity of the Republican Party is so volatile. I mean, things swing so wildly and so fast that it is really hard to keep up with where we are and what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I, as I'm sure, you know, you get a lot of these emails. You know, we sign up for these lists from the DNC, the RNC. You know, you've got to know what's going on. I mean, it's important that I keep up on this. It's important that you keep up on this. I'm astounded over a 24-hour period of time. And, you know, maybe I'm just going to start saving all this stuff, because literally when it comes to Mitt Romney, I can in the morning get an email on an article that was written on a position, and then later that afternoon or early evening, another article written on how he, over the course of a day, changed his perspective on a certain topic. And, you know, you and I can sit here, because this is what we do for a living, and go, oh, my God, how can anybody take this stuff seriously? Or how can they take this candidate? It doesn't even have to be Mitt Romney. Whatever candidate we might happen to be talking about. And, Stephen, we wake up and we say to ourselves, well, you know what? Perception is reality. If I'm a Republican, I'm going to perceive my guy the way I need to perceive him. That's how I get through this.
You know, that's one of the other things that we're seeing in the polls right now, I believe, is voter enthusiasm. After last week, Democrats are not nearly as worked up about the president as they were before. And Republicans are way more worked up about Mitt Romney than they were before. That often reflects in polls. And so is that worth 1 or 2 points? Is that worth 3 or 4 points? It's unclear. I think after the vice presidential debate and after the second presidential debate, we might have a clearer picture of, you know, assuming that the president does better. It's hard to imagine how he could do worse, frankly. I think we'll have a clearer picture of where people's minds really are going into the last 2 weeks of the campaign. And, you know, that's going to obviously determine who's going to win on November 6th.
Absolutely. Stephen Henderson, my guest. We do need to get to a quick break here. When we continue, the city of Detroit and, well, the city of Detroit, I'll leave it there. We'll talk about it when we continue. This is First Shift. I am Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your trouble spots. Let's head over to 696 eastbound at the Lodge Telegraph exit, where accident has your right 2 lanes blocked and traffic is getting by in the left 3 lanes. Got another accident on M14 westbound at Ford Road with stop-and-go traffic from Godfredson. Got heavy traffic on 94 westbound between 9 Mile and French Road, and more heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and Barker Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61. And it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Is America truly the land of the free?
when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trivano.
Joining us now is Steve Griffins, president and CEO of Veritas Entertainment.
Well, I think they're trying to defend the freedoms that we take for granted here in this nation. And this is not a Democrat or a Republican, a conservative or a liberal. This is about freedom. And I think freedom is something that we overlook because we've got bigger issues like the budget to deal with, or we've got this political race to deal with. But what undergirds this great nation, in my opinion, is freedom. And that's freedom for your neighbors that you break bread with, and that's freedom down here in the South for the people that want to go to church and still want to pray in schools.
On 1310 WDTW.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, and welcome back. Once again, my guest is Stephen Henderson. He is the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal. Stephen, a fascinating poll in the Detroit News, which was actually the topic of our early morning this morning in the 6 o'clock hour, as we continue to see all kinds of devastation. We also did a story this morning, Stephen, about the lost revenue with regard to traffic enforcement and tickets. Although it might sound like a small story to people, officers that are now working 12-hour shifts are just not feeling compelled to get their little bit of overtime for going to traffic court. So all kinds of money is being left on the table, if you will, because, well, they have to dismiss these traffic cases. This is but a small example of the domino effect of some of the decisions that are being made by the leaders in the city. This is a really confusing and complicated time for the city, isn't it, Stephen?
I think so. I mean, I think what struck me about the information that's been in the news the last couple of days is the contrast, the stark contrast between that and this sort of emerging narrative we hear over and over that, you know, Detroit is this great place for young people and artists and sort of this rebirth that gets a lot of national attention. You know, and I'm not questioning any of that. I mean, I know a lot of the people who are involved in that, and a lot of people who show up in the New York Times and on television talking about Detroit. But I think we forget sometimes that the city is mostly full of people whose reality is very different, and who struggle with employment, who struggle with opportunity, who struggle with crime, which is completely out of control this year in Detroit, and especially if you live out in neighborhoods other than downtown or midtown. This is still a city with, you know, 650,000 people who are essentially living as victims of Detroit, as you know, people on the wrong end of all of the bad numbers that we see that come out of the city, and it's a reminder that we can't create a quote unquote new Detroit that doesn't include a better life for those folks, that the problems that we have to be turned around for them as well as for the people who are moving here and who are excited to be here and have money and options and things like that.
Well, you know, unfortunately, Stephen, we'll take as an example the recent resignation of Police Chief Ralph Godbey. That makes national news instantaneously. Anything that happens in Detroit is now making the national newspapers.
Sure.
And, you know, again, you kind of just take a deep breath. I go back to something you and I talked about 2 weeks ago, which is how do we continue to respect and reward the people that didn't walk away from this city? I don't know how to do that at this point. I don't even know where our priority begins.
Well, I mean, I think you have much deeper problems associated with some of those folks. I mean, start with where they live. The neighborhoods here have been decimated by population decline, by neglect. And so a lot of these folks live in places where there are lots of abandoned houses or lots of empty lots, where the institutions that keep neighborhoods together, like churches or businesses, are all gone. And so the city faces a real dilemma in terms of what do you do and where do you do it? I mean, we have such a large area of land in Detroit that's like that it's even hard to prioritize where you would, if you had a lot of money to spend on neighborhood revitalization, where would you spend it first? And could you spend enough to bring the whole city back, or do you have to choose different areas, which raises all kinds of questions? So, I mean, I don't mean to minimize the task that the city has or how difficult it will be, but I think the narrative increasingly has to be more about that part of Detroit and the people who live there than it does about Midtown and Downtown, which are fabulous places to be right now, but are not representative of what life is like in Detroit for most people.
No, and unfortunate truth is something that's not lost on the people that live there. I am fortunate. I consider myself quite fortunate that many of those people listen to this radio show, and I've made some very good friends over the course of the last 20 months that we've been on the air, that they have been so upfront and honest. I appreciate their passion. But some of these people, Stephen, are, as you know, are the people that show up at city council meetings or town halls within the city and
sure.
have a very dramatic and extreme agenda. It's not that I don't understand it, but it obviously doesn't get us closer to the goal.
Right. Well, and I think the news poll really shows how destructive those people's rhetoric and behavior has been. I mean, the polls show that most Detroiters are sick of the conditions that they live in. The one this morning talks about 66% of the city backing the idea of a lease of Belle Isle by the state. You wouldn't get that from these folks who show up, you know, at the forums and at city council to scream at people about, you know, maintaining control and power. And so I think that is, you know, even more destructive that you've got this sort of this counter narrative about keeping the city somehow whole or under local control. At the same time, you have people living in the neighborhoods just desperately hoping that anything will get better or that anything will get done. I always say that you know, if you've got time at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon to go down to city council and scream at them about something, I mean, you're by definition in a minority. Most people are at work at that time, or trying to get work, or trying to deal with their children. We can't pay too much attention to those folks, because not only are they wrong, in my opinion, but I don't think they represent anybody but themselves.
Well, again, it's all part of a larger picture, and we all want to see progress. And as you pointed out when we talked about Mike Duggan a couple weeks ago, and actually you wrote about it, I got to be honest with you, Stephen, it's too early to be talking about the next mayor. It just is for me. This is not a conversation I want to have right now.
Well, I don't want to have it because, you know, I'm trying to get through the November 6th when I will maybe finally get some rest. But
that's not going to happen, Stephen.
but also because, that sort of presumes that this mayor's term is over, and it's not. We still have 14 months of Dave being as mayor, regardless of what happens in the elections next year. And we need him to engage even more than he has on this central question. What are you going to do about crime? Now you've got the third police chief of your first term who you've had to say goodbye to. What are you going to do to get somebody else in here who's going to move even faster than Ralph Gosby? He's laid out very ambitious neighborhood plans over and over, and it's very hard to point in many neighborhoods to what's happened. So how do you get that moving faster? How do you get Detroit Works to really make an impact, a dramatic impact in the city neighborhood?
Well, and we're going to have to leave that for the next time, because we are out of time. Stephen Henderson, as always, I appreciate your time, and we'll visit next week. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's check your trouble spots. Let's head over to 696 eastbound at the Lodge Telegraph exit, where accident has your right two lanes blocked and traffic is getting by in the left three lanes. Got another accident on M14 westbound at Ford Road with stop-and-go traffic from Godfredson. Got heavy traffic on 94 westbound between 9 Mile and French Road, and more heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and Barker Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61, and it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
But in the past, Governor Romney has said he just wants to repeal Dodd-Frank. Roll it back. And so the question is, does anybody out there think that the big problem we had is that there was too much oversight and regulation of Wall Street? Because if you do, then Governor Romney is your candidate. But that's not what I believe.
On 1310 WDTW.
National brand-name food conglomerates are coming a cropper over California's Proposition 37. Actually, it's a double cropper. First, they're frantically scrambling to defeat this citizens' initiative, which would establish a state right-to-know labeling requirement on any food with genetically manipulated organisms in it. The giants fear that consumers, damn you, will reject products containing risky GMOs, so they want to keep such contents a secret. Since the California market is huge, passage of a labeling law there would effectively become a national provision. Thus, the corporations are mounting a massive PR campaign against Prop 37. But, oops, this media blitz is causing a second cropper for them by revealing way more about their conglomerated empires than they want people to know. Another of their carefully constructed consumer frauds is that many multinationals have quietly bought up dozens of popular organic food firms, but they've kept their conglomerate name off the labels, hoping that customers will think the organic brands are still scrappy independent businesses. Now, though, the public is learning that Kashi Organics, for example, is a subsidiary of Kellogg, which is spending a ton to defeat Prop 37. Other megabuck donors to the anti-consumer campaign include General Mills, owner of Muir Glen, Dean Foods, owner of Horizon Organic Milk, plus such giant deceivers as Campbell Soup, Coca-Cola, ConAgra, Hershey, Hormel, Nestle, Ocean Spray, PepsiCo, and Sara Lee. This is Jim Hightower saying, the fun part is that the organic subsidiaries of these giants support the right-to-know labeling law. And some of them are the ones who've outed the corporate parents for financing legalized consumer deception. Nothing like a feisty family squabble to air out the dirty linens and expose some ugly truths. To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Women who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. We are in wait of our guests, who I understand are on their way. So until they get here, yep, you're stuck with me. We are going to get to our Planned Parenthood segment, as soon as they arrive. In the meantime, I want to kind of piggyback on what Stephen Henderson and I were discussing in the last segment. As you all know, there are many of us that don't necessarily live in the city of Detroit that have a great affinity for it. Both of my parents were born and raised in the city. Both of them have deep roots, as do my grandparents who came from the old country. There is a very nostalgic, very romantic part of my own belief system that enjoys the city. I enjoy the skyline. I enjoy the things that there are to do. And really, right before I met my wife, I was literally getting ready to move downtown. And then I met her, and we got this very serious, very fast, decided to get married, and so that delayed those plans. But with all that being said, there are a great many people that work downtown that love downtown. Notice I said downtown, but Detroit isn't just about downtown. It's about the outlying communities. You know, there's a term that used to be used that we don't really talk about anymore, and it was the term is inner city. Remember when we used to talk about the inner city of Detroit? I don't know how we define that anymore. I truly don't. I don't know what we would consider to be the inner city. Would it be somehow some central district? Is it the outlying areas? I just don't understand how we define that anymore. I do know this. There are a great many people that still live in the city of Detroit. Some of them don't want to get out. Some of them can't get out. But when we frame the discussion that way, it sounds like people are trapped. And I would hate to think that there is any truth to that, although fully well knowing there is some truth to that, unfortunately. And just one of these conversations where we want the city to be healthier, stronger, more vibrant, but we want that to happen in the residential areas. There are two serious efforts that need to take place, and so it just makes complete sense to have the conversation. But we've got to be careful, folks. We've got to be very, very careful that we don't forget that it's not just about the business of the city, but those who live and work and worship and shop and have invested into what Detroit still means for me and I think many other people. All right, let's move on to our next guest. If I could have an intro, guys, we'll get going. If I could have an intro, please, we'll get going. All right. So as soon as you can get an intro going, I'd appreciate it. All right, let's skip the intro today, and let's just turn to my guest so that we don't waste any more time. Joining me now is Desiree Cooper, is Communications Director for Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, an extremely talented performer, actress, comedian, Satori Shakur, and I want to welcome both of you to First Shift this morning. Thanks for having us, Tony.
Thank you for that great introduction.
Well, I got to tell you, I went to YouTube yesterday and watched some of your stuff, and I don't often sit alone and laugh out loud, and maybe I shouldn't admit that I did that, but you're really funny.
Thank you very much, Tony Trupiano.
I mean, you're really, really funny, so I appreciate that. Des, before we get started, why don't we tell people a little bit about what's going on, and we've got a chance for people to win some tickets to this event that's coming up on the 18th of October.
Exactly. You know, Planned Parenthood can be a little bit somber, you know, because these are serious, serious times, and we are dead serious about serving our patients with health care. But we're lighthearted, too. We like to have a lot of fun. And we were approached by the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers, Satori's organization, to do a storytelling event. And we thought this was right dead on. And we cannot wait. It is on October 18th. And the theme is Stories from Life Surprises. So as you all are listening today, if you can tweet to Tony, is it at Tony Trupiano?
Yeah, Tony Trupiano.
Tony Trupiano. One of your stories of life surprises, and the best tweet is going to be read on stage at the event, and you'll get two tickets to the show.
All right. They can also email as well.
They can email it,
Tony
too.
At thetonyshow.org.
Yeah, you can't cheat on email. It's still 140 characters.
That's right. Yeah, we got to mention that. It is still 140 characters because not everybody has Twitter in my audience, so we want to be fair to that. I got to ask, how did you come up with the name of is it a troop? Is it you? Is it...
It's an idea. I wrote a short story in 2009 called The Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers because I'd written a story that was so out there that I had to invent an audience to hear it.
Okay.
I didn't think that anybody could hear the story, so I created this secret society and the audience. I created a history for it, and so when I was having this vision of how to serve Detroit, what could I do as an artist to serve Detroit? Because the community, but I felt so disconnected. I knew the power of stories and storytelling from my adventures with the moth. And it just came to me, what should I name this? Well, the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. Twist means human. The twists and turns that we face as human beings to find that light, that idea, that magnificence that we all are.
Well, I think it's appropriate discussion to be having in this hour. We were just talking to the Free Press's Stephen Henderson about the city of Detroit and some of the struggles and the people that are just fighting to survive. And so it's, I think, quite appropriate that we're having this discussion today. I have to tell you, though, when I was watching that YouTube video, the one YouTube video, and you even said something along the lines of, looking for a job, and you said a lot of people will hire me. I just don't want to work for any of the ones that would. And I cannot begin to tell you that. I mean, that line's going to strike a chord with anybody that hears it because we've all been there. You know, even when you really need that job, you go, I don't want to work for them. You know, so it was really quite profound. Why did you decide to do this fundraiser for Planned Parenthood? Why was this important for you?
Well, first of all, I'm a woman without health care.
I've heard that rumor, yeah. Actually, you're a very beautiful woman.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Tony Trupiano. I was in Nova Scotia doing a show up there, and I happened to, the theater houses you with a resident of Nova Scotia who was also a political junkie such as myself. And we would sit there and just watch the Congress discussed the health issues back in February and March, the exclusion of Sandra Fluke, and I would be in Canada shaking my fist, what is going on? And then the attacks, and then the paper clips between the knees, and legitimate rape, and it was going on and on, and I'm like, what? Let me reach out to Planned Parenthood, because any nonprofit doing fundraisers, this is a very, very This is a reach out for real as human beings telling true stories about their lives. And what I found as a storyteller, and we love stories, and we face our fears through stories. We uplift each other through stories. We at the highest level, stories are transformational. So I wanted to connect storytelling to Planned Parenthood to give Planned Parenthood the face that belongs to it, not this mischaracterization, not this terrible organizations that are out to destroy society and all the other, you know, end of the world apocalyptic.
Yeah, you know, Desiree Cooper, I've got to tell you, as Satori is talking, this sounds like a I mean, Planned Parenthood is about stories. I mean, you and
absolutely.
I, how many times have you and I talked off air?
Right.
You know, it is about the stories that mostly women tell. Not just women, but mostly women telling.
And I think that's what's been missing in the political dialogue. And that's what people are really turned off by, because the humanity, the actual situations that people find themselves, the actual real-life process of trying to access health care, et cetera. And I do want to say, Tony, we are not preaching. You know, Satori has curated these stories. She's picked them specifically for us in our audience. This is not Vagina Monologues Part 3. You know, this is really, they're men telling stories. It's telling about, you know, one person had testicular cancer in his 20s. He's navigating love. You know, so it's just like real life stories of people that really have had to really deal with life surprises. And whatever that surprise is, if your car breaks down on the freeway, surprise, you know, and it can lead to so many other life choices and transformational things. And that's at core, that's what Planned Parenthood is about, is that transformational moment when people are really dealing with their reproductive health care in a preventive way or after the cows are out of the barn, however they have to deal with it. But if you're a human being on this planet for any period of time, you will come to one of those moments. And so that's what we really want to do, is just kind of air those. Have fun. Right, Satori?
Oh, it's
going to be
entertaining. It's very funny. Bring your Kleenex, because you're gonna cry laughing, cry from being moved. It's human beings telling stories, and they're very good stories.
We do want to say it's 18 plus, because we want grown-ups.
Yeah, well,
although my audiences have ranged from 13 to 82, it's that, I mean, even though the stories are edgy and very real and human, all I saw was braces at the last event. This 13-year-old, but her mom and dad were there, too.
But at some level, that doesn't surprise me, because you know, I have children, does have children. I don't know if you have children, but man, oh man, it seems like they are aware younger than they've ever been. Although my kids aren't young anymore, it seems that they're more aware than they've ever been, and it's just such a challenge. We have to already take a quick break, so let's do that here, and we will come back, talk more about the event, and do a little promotion. So stay where you're at. Satori Shakur, Desiree Cooper, my guest. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
My guests are the three candidates that are endorsed by the Michigan Democratic Party for the Michigan Supreme Court. What do you think about three women being endorsed by a major political party?
I think it's really exciting, Tony. We've tried to figure out if there are other examples of it, you know, historically, and we don't know of any. We don't know of any other time that there have been three women candidates running for a state Supreme Court. So it's kind of an historic ticket, and women make up more and more of law school graduates now in our classes. I have more women each year, and they're breaking all kinds of barriers in the legal system. That doesn't mean, of course, that because we're women, we will, you know, rule differently. We all follow the rule of law. But I think it's a moment for Michigan to be proud of this ticket. I like it when three women are the right men for the job.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now.
Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Again, Satori Shakur is with us, performer, actress, playwright, very, very gifted and talented. I could also say the same thing about Desiree Cooper. I've never really told my Desiree story, but the first time I,
quote-unquote,
met her, yes, you were a columnist for the Detroit Free Press, and you had written something about your kids, and I sent you, just randomly sent you an email and told you that it really resonated with me, and you actually responded to my email, and I was shocked by that. Sure enough, a few months later, I met you when you and your ex-husband were at a political event. He was at that time the co-chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. And so I've always been a big fan. I'm a big fan of Desiree Cooper. Absolutely.
Well, I've been a big fan of yours, Tony. And the work you're doing, I mean, you know, who does all this for Planned Parenthood? I just have to say, you're the center of my universe these days. So
there are a lot of people that do stuff for Planned Parenthood. Let's give out, I want to make sure we get out some information. This is going to happen next Thursday, the 18th of October, at the Magic Stick in Detroit. And the address is 4140 Woodward Avenue. The doors are going to open at 7. The show starts at 8. Tickets are $25, and I'm going to give out a number that people can call to get the tickets, and then we'll be reminding people all week long about this. But the number's toll-free, 866-777-8932, or you can go online and get them at PlannedParenthoodDetroit.org or at TheSecretSocietyOfTwistedStorytellers.com. We're going to get all of this on the Facebook page, so nobody has to wonder. And in fact, I think maybe I'm going to do a little commercial for you so we can just run that and worry about it. I think it'll just be easier to do it that way. And of course, if people want to either send a tweet at Tony Trupiano or an email, Tony@thetonyshow.org, 140 characters or less, a life story, whatever it may be, you're going to win 2 free tickets to go see this amazing show.
And don't forget, they're tax deductible because we are a nonprofit.
Yes,
so
they are.
Come have a great time and support us and help your taxes at the same time.
Absolutely. No question. I mean, this is critical. I have to ask a story because as a storyteller, I would imagine there are times where you've shared a story and you wonder, oh my God, is this going to resonate with people? And then all of a sudden, after a show, somebody will say, you have no idea how much it meant to me. You know, you said you're going to laugh, but there are those tender moments as well. I mean, people are really, laughter and tears, those emotions actually work in very similar ways, don't they?
The story that's on the Moth Radio Hour now that I tell. I was terrified to tell that story. I'd lost my mom and my son, so it was a very hard story to tell. But I had moved through grief to a point where I was ready to live, and I was felt joyful. And then my hormones popped me into my life, and then the story is very funny from there then on. But it was a transcendent moment because grief changes you. And so Kay Bird happened to be in the audience, and because I was on the show with Charles Pugh. He told the story that night last year, and Kay had lost her son. And she had, that was the first event she had come out for since the loss of her son.
Oh, my.
So Charles was holding her hand, said, don't worry, don't worry. Now, Kay was our first storyteller for the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. I saw her at an event. She said, I want to do what you do. I want to celebrate my son. She was one of our storytellers, and we put her video up on your your website. So
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's on your Facebook page. Yeah, okay.
So she said, I'm not where you are. She told me at the show, but I can see where I can be. And that's the power of storytelling, that it can, you can see your way through something, even though you're not through it yet, through somebody else's journey.
And Tony, you mentioned, you know, that thing about, can you really share that? And I remember as a columnist, and you talk about me writing about my kids, I had people come up and say, oh my God, I can't believe you told that. And I'm like, what? Told what? I mean, the more you tell on yourself, the more you realize everybody has the story. It's just you're the one that said it out loud, you know?
Yes.
And whatever shame or concern or whatever you have melts away because you start really connecting with people on a human level.
Why did you decide, Des, to do this show in October? Why is this a good time for Planned Parenthood to do this?
Oh, couldn't be better. We are really trying to bring it. This is in Midtown. We're trying to bring together people who are concerned about the city, concerned about women, concerned about health care, concerned about our community, and really urge them to get out to vote. So what better way to bring people together and really celebrate our common humanity and say, and then get out there and let's do something. Let's do something. So it's not a political, I don't care how you vote. I really care that you just get out there and the voices get heard. And too often, especially in Detroit, people feel like they're beyond hope, that there's no point. And, of course, there's no point if you don't just show up and say something. So we're going to have our voices on stage and urge people to express their voices at
the
ballot.
That's amazing. I'm so excited. I wish I could come, but as you know, I'm a wimp. I can't get up as early as I do and have a nightlife. So I just being realistic, it's just the way things are for me. But let me ask you, are you actually, I mean, this isn't just your performance. You invite people up on stage to tell stories? Or?
I host it. I've had enough of applause in my life.
I can never have too much applause.
No, I'm telling you, with Parliament, I'm one of the brides of Funkenstein, Parliament Funkadelic, Menopause the Musical, literally millions of people. It's like who gets a chance to take a stage and have a standing ovation just for sharing their story? Citizens of Detroit, you know, the greater Detroit area, you have to be a musician, an accomplished singer, and a star to get your voice heard. No, I'm finding that I get people from Huntington Woods, Novi, Detroit, Ferndale, and tell their stories, and all of a sudden the people in the audience are talking to people from different communities, and they're laughing and crying and conversing at the end of the day. So it's like, introduce yourself to your neighbors. They're not as scary as you think.
These are not actors.
No, these are human beings.
It's real Detroiters telling their real life story. And Detroiter, we mean in the broadest sense of the word.
Yes.
So. You know, I want to put
the diversity, white, black, old, young, we had tatted up people, very conservative. We had reporters, doctors. Dr. John Telfer told a story at the last event.
All right, I think I'm going to have to take a nap that day.
And yeah, I think you should.
You have to come.
I have to do this. I want to dispel a myth. I want to put it to rest forever. For the guys that are listening to us right now, I've been to some Planned Parenthood events. It's a very mixed crowd. It's not all women. So for
No. And like Satori said, we have three of the storytellers are men, and they tell, like, you know, stories from the lives of men. It's not about their women. It's their stories.
Right.
So, yeah. This is gender friendly, however you identify your gender.
Yeah. Well, no, but I go to a Planned Parenthood event, but it's all women, right? No. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Lynn Winstead event, that was, I would say, equal. I mean, there were probably just as many men as women. We're already out of time.
Yeah, and I do have to say MGM Grand of Detroit, Coventry Cares, Detroit Snob, and Life and Destiny Builders Maternal Infant Health Agencies are all sponsors of this. So we have some big-time sponsors for this, too.
Well, it's wonderful. We are going to get all this stuff up. We're going to put a little commercial together. We'll start airing it first thing tomorrow so that we can promote this. Again, we've got a whole week to promote it, which is great.
Don't forget your tweets.
Don't forget your tweets or your email, but I'd rather it be a tweet, folks. So come on. I know even Jeannie's listening. Jeannie, I know you've got a story to tell. I know you do. I want to thank you both for being with us.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back in the next hour. Candidates from beginning to end. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your trouble spots. Let's head over to 696 eastbound at the Lodge Telegraph exit, where accident has your right two lanes blocked and traffic is getting by in the left three lanes. Got another accident on M14 westbound at Ford Road with stop-and-go traffic from Godfredson. Got heavy traffic on 94 westbound between 9 Mile and French Road, and more heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and Barker Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 51 with showers in the early morning. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and 61. And it's currently rainy and 47 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.